Hey guys, welcome back to the official ABC Family podcast for Pretty Little Liars. My name is Brendan Robinson, and I play Lucas on the show. Now, following last season's terrifying cliffhanger, we thought it'd be really fun to kick off season two with a chat with executive producers Marlene King and Oliver Goldstick. They're here to talk to us about some of the secrets from last season and tease us about what's ahead for season two. A fun fact for you superfans out there, Marlene actually wrote the first episode back for season two of Pretty Little Liars. So who better than her to give us an inside look?
It was a very exciting finale. It was really exciting to film that sequence. From the time the script was finished, the sort of the big concentration of the finale was going to be that big bell tower sequence. We designed it really to pay homage to Hitchcock's Vertigo, and Leslie Glatter, who directed the pilot episode for us, came back for our finale, and it was really exciting to be with Dana Gonzalez, our DP, who also did the pilot, and Leslie and the girls and myself. We had so much fun. It was sort of like old home weekend that way, so we were really excited to begin with, and that was sort of like the one of the final sequences we shot. And Rachel Cameraman, who's our production designer, came up with this great way of tying in the Little Rosewood Church to the bell tower. And the bell tower was just completely a fictitious set somewhere else on the back lot. And it was very well choreographed. It was a lot of work, an extremely intensive shoot. I think we were probably there till 3 or 4 in the morning. But it's all filmed in bits and pieces, and you know it's intense, and you know it's going to be great. But when you see it all cut together, it sort of was beyond all of our expectations. It was really exciting. Troy did an amazing job, and Ryan Merriman did a great job too. It's like, well, there's a sequence there where he grabs Spencer, and he's like literally sweating, like sweat is pouring off of him. It's just so realistic. And it was really more than we ever could have hoped for. Super exciting. We've sort of become very good at moments later. This is another moments later. Writing the first episode back was really almost like writing a pilot all over again, because this season felt like it was a new beginning in a lot of ways. We're really starting a whole new set of stories. And so it was sort of reinventing the show for season two. It's very much starts where we left off in season one, but we're trying to launch a lot of exciting new stories within the show. So
in the first 4 or 5 episodes of this season, there's some fresh insights into Allison, into Jenna, into Allison's brother, who's another character who figures prominently in these first, in the first 12 episodes. But Melissa plays a big part, Spencer's sister, in these first 5 episodes. So she's very, you see a lot of her. Spencer was very much a person of interest. We had her own family starting to be suspicious of what was her involvement regarding Allison and Allison's death and disappearance. And we left off with the girls trying very much to prove once and for all that they were not involved in her disappearance and that Ian Thomas was responsible. And that was, of course, from evidence that had been accumulating over the previous, I guess, 20 episodes, 21 episodes. And the girls finally are able to lure him to a spot. They have a policeman ready. A policeman who, by the way, we are questioning, because if you saw the last episode, you'd also know what is his connection to Jenna and why is he helping our girls? Helping or entrapping? So we left off with that. A lot of intrigue with Officer Garrett, intrigue with Jenna, intrigue with Ian, whose body just disappeared out of a bell tower. He flew away. We have no idea. But yeah, the 4 girls basically look like they're pariahs now in the town, because their word is mud. You know, like they basically have said, this is who did this to Allison. This is who we cornered. This is the person who has all this, you know, all the evidence stacked against him. Where is this person? This person's nowhere to be found. And again, because it's her brother-in-law, Spencer seems to be sitting in the hottest seat, because it looks like she's trying to frame someone who's married into her family, who she had a little romance with at some point too. We touched on that in the first season.
Well, they are. I mean, this was not sort of a simple little slip up. You know, this half the town was out there. You know, they're saying there was a dead body in there and the body is gone. And it's really not a believable story, even though we saw it with our own eyes and they saw it with their own eyes. But they can't talk about A to anyone. But in the first episode back, they really start to think, like, is this the time we should tell someone?
And the girls are going to be, their parents are all privy to this now, because some of the parents are actually standing in the square witnessing this entire incident. And one of the parents, Veronica Hastings, Spencer's mother, decides the best way to handle this is to be, you know, proactive and preemptive. And she basically has the girls go see a therapist, because she feels the girls are somehow feeding into each other's frenzy of not being able to say goodbye to Allison, because this would feed on anyone's, particularly a teenager's conscience who feels powerless to begin with. But these four girls lost somebody. There never was any sense of closure as to who did this to her. She was in their life one day and she was plucked out the next. So it makes sense that these four girls would go see a professional to talk about, and a grievance counselor, I should say, to talk about their feelings having lost one of their own, why they can't put it to bed. Anyway, the counselor slash psychotherapist decides that the best thing for these girls, because they may be codependent and enabling each other's paranoia, the best thing would be for them not to see each other, to sort of pull them apart. And this has a devastating effect on the four girls, who don't even feel safe to begin with, as a group, en masse. Can you imagine when you're alone and getting those texts from A? And so you have in the first four episodes, almost five, the girls they're forcibly separated. And in their separation, they find ways to still clandestinely meet, you know, find whether it's the girls' bathroom at school, and to the outside world, it looks like they're not really talking, but they are. The first couple episodes deal with A, the imposed sanction on their friendship, and then B, where is Ian's body? Where is Ian? And the question of, did this person get up and walk away? Was his body taken? Did A orchestrate this? Who pushed him? Was that A? All of these questions become, you know, very prevalent in the first four episodes. And they're answered, by the way. We're not going to hold you forever, because they're answered by episode five.
The girls have said a couple of times, and they actually say it in a few episodes in season two that we've already found, like, whatever A gives, the bitch takes back. And Ian's body is the perfect example of that. It's like a true metaphor for who A is. It's like A really did help lead them to Ian, and then A took Ian's body. So it's really sort of A's MO to do that. They saw Ian. He was dead. He was hanging in those ropes. Where could he be? And surely A is in some way involved, but they're trying to process it and figure it out. And we will find out what happens to Ian. We'll find out where he is, what he's doing, and what he will be doing.
Hey, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this official ABC Family podcast for Pretty Little Liars. If you'd like to see some more exclusive behind-the-scenes video from the show, be sure to check out the video series, only available on iTunes Season Pass for Season 2. And don't forget to tune into Pretty Little Liars, Tuesday nights, 8/7 Central, only on ABC Family. I'll talk to you guys next week.